The voice of Husker Nation is on the air. This is Hail Varsity Radio. Insight, opinion, expertise, along with the biggest names talking Nebraska sports. Join in with the show at 402-489-1240 or 1-800-825-5865. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and Elijah Herbel.
Back with you, it's Hour 2. It's Hail Varsity Radio. We're presented by Currency. For all your equipment financing needs, go Currency. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel, hope you're doing all right. Good stuff from Jabba Chamberlain on Nebraska, shaking up their coaching staff in Hour 1. Bill Bender joins us from the Sporting News in Hour 2. Open phones for about 20 minutes. We're here at Sherman Field as Southwest in the field against Lincoln East, a quick two up, two down for Southwest. So the umps take the field. They turn to me because I'm the only guy in the press box here at Sherman and say, are you playing the national anthem? And I kind of put both my hands up and I'm like, I would absolutely salute old glory if I knew how to do it. But there's no scorekeeper here for the 5 o'clock JV session.
The umpires, we all know that It's a big part of Legion baseball. You're supposed to have the national anthem before first pitch. It doesn't always happen during spring baseball, but during Legion baseball, that's ordained that you're supposed to play the national anthem if possible. So I understand their perspective there. And Schmidt, you could have like hopped on a mic and sang it yourself or something.
I will not defile the national anthem that way.
It's a tough song to sing.
I am. And the other part of what was entertaining here before we got back here into hour two, Junior's effort was for crap running sprints with the rest of the team. Now, I know he's got that Schmidt speed, but he doesn't need to show it like that, at least fake it. They were all running sprints and kind of a delayed takeoff, and he's still got his two left feet, man.
Was that running foul poles, or what was that? Was it just
– No, it was just running from the foul line to about center field. So Bo Jackson and Jose Canseco would do it, and – it would not end well for Jose back in the day as they were warming up whenever we go down to see the Royals in Oakland.
Well, what's the furthest you need to run as a pitcher? Like, what, 40 feet from pitcher's plate to first base?
They've got to be in outstanding condition to go deep into ball games, I would think.
Did you ever see Bartolo Colon or CC Sabathia?
No, I know both those guys love to – find the buffet table, but I'm sure while they were playing, they had some freakish ability to grind. I mean, they weren't four inning guys. A lot of them would go at least to the seventh. Yeah, big sexy Bartolo. God, you look at his rookie card, the then and now. Father Time, undefeated. That's what I'm going to go with. So, Elijah, let's talk a little bit here about the college football schedule. It's going to be a fun year of college football. And you look at some of the national games or games that are circled. And Big Game Boomer listed his 50 most important college football games of the year. Number one is Michigan-Ohio State. Do you agree with that? I think so. Assuming that Ohio State and Michigan go unscathed against Penn State again this year. But it's really intriguing to see if Harbaugh can get over that hump and go win a championship. They've been right there in some instances, and Ohio State is reeling because they've, dear God, lost two in a row to Michigan. And that's getting a little uncomfortable there. Clemson, Florida State comes in at number two. That's your ACC crown. Your SEC West crown will come down to Alabama and LSU. That is the third most important game. Your SEC East crown comes down to Tennessee at Georgia. Oh, by the way, you also have a non-conference showdown, Florida State, LSU, Tennessee, Bama, Ohio State, Notre Dame sneaks into the top 10. Your Pac-12 North showdowns, Washington and Oregon. Then your non-conference is SC Notre Dame. That's Notre Dame's chance Big 12 is always Oklahoma, Texas. Nebraska makes this list in the Big 10, but further down the trough, as they say. The Big 10 West game that's first listed on the top 50 college football games of the season, the first one to appear is going to be Iowa and Minnesota. Minnesota is a sneaky dark horse to get over that hump and win the West. Iowa actually has a quarterback this year, so not as good a defense, but theoretically a better offense. That's saying a lot with Big Brian wearing the headset. Also coming in is Wisconsin, Iowa. That is a decider. You have Minnesota, Wisconsin. That is another decider. Down the trough is Nebraska, Iowa, and then just sneaking into the top 50 is Minnesota, Nebraska. But it's nice to see Nebraska in here, where they're not completely written off as a team contending for the West. I think you win Thursday night, August 31st. A lot of great things can happen this season, Elijah. Illinois and Iowa also come in. So there's a lot of Iowa games here. Iowa's going to have a lot of coin flip games, but I think Nebraska also will have a lot of coin flip games this season. And you could get your mind right if you steal a win in Minneapolis to kick off the season.
Mm-hmm. And before we get into Nebraska and their slate, which games we think are most important, I do want to go back to something that you led off with. That was the number one game, Michigan-Ohio State. Is that fair? Yes. Michigan-Ohio State, I think, until proven otherwise, shows which Big Ten school is going to be going to the college football playoff, at least going to the Big Ten title game. And then you can assume whichever one of those makes the Big Ten title game, even if they lose, you got to assume that they're either going to be 11-1, 12-0. Like, that's probably a pretty good lock to make the college football playoff, unless the wheels fall off and Penn State runs the table, which I still think they're a little bit behind both the likes of Michigan and Ohio State, both in terms of recruiting and on-field performance. Could I be surprised? Very much so. But if you're going to do a preseason list, I think it's a joke if you put any game there that is not Michigan-Ohio State as being the most important game in college football this year. There's a reason it's been the most viewed game in college football, I believe, 3 years running now. There's a reason for that. It's because Michigan-Ohio State, it's the last game of the regular season, and it's for all the marbles in the Big Ten East more often than it isn't. So I agree with that 100%. As for Nebraska in their slate, I can't disagree with the fact that Nebraska is going to be further down this list. Yeah, Nebraska gets the national TV eyes. It's still a helmet game. People still know who Nebraska is. But it's hard for me not knowing how the Big Ten West is going to shape up this year, putting really any Big Ten West games in there as the most important games in college football. Because whenever I think about a game that's going to be nationally important, this is a game that is going to have national relevancy. When I look at that, I'm looking at either New Year's Six Bowls. I'm looking at your college football playoff. It's going to be important in terms of who goes and wins a conference title game. I don't think there's any team in the Big Ten West that is going to go compete with Michigan and Ohio State in the Big Ten to go actually win the conference this year. Yeah, a Big Ten West team has to make the conference title game, but a Big Ten West team has never won the conference. It's as simple as that. The Big Ten East dominates the Big Ten right now, so it's hard for me to put any Big Ten West games in there as being nationally important, because how nationally important it is going to be is whoever wins this game goes off and loses, gets beaten by 40 by Michigan in the Big Ten title game. That's how it's been going for the Big Ten West, so it's hard for me to have any Big Ten West game there and say, you know what, this has national relevancy, it's got national importance in what? Who the makeup
sacrificial lamb is,
who the fail safe is going to be in terms of who's going to be playing in the Rose Bowl because your conference title winner is going and playing in the college football playoff. Like, I struggle to see much national relevancy in the Big Ten West as a whole.
Well, don't kid yourself. I mean, the Big Ten West team that has been runner up hasn't even qualified since Iowa for the Rose Bowl. Mm-hmm. It's been, let's take the third place Big Ten East team, Penn State, to go off, and there's two New Year's Day Sixes where you'll have a Fiesta Bowl for Ohio State, or last year you got both into the playoff, and that was really cool for the Big Ten. Now, what this comes down to is you're trying to gauge who has a shot at getting to the Big Ten West crown, and then who's got a one night only, anything can happen moment in Indianapolis to take down an Ohio State or a Michigan. just to go back to the Rose Bowl, because chances are your West team isn't going to be in position for one of the four playoff teams.
Well, it's much more likely, in my opinion, that anything can happen one night, that a team like Nebraska or Minnesota or somebody can go take down the likes of Michigan or Ohio State on a random night in late September or early October, rather than, you know what, it's December, it's in Indianapolis, it's for all the marbles. Like, we didn't even get, aside from, I believe, Wisconsin-Ohio State, a crossover Big Ten West versus Big Ten East matchup. Like, I look at Nebraska's schedule. In terms of the importance of Nebraska's slate and games that they win, Nebraska-Michigan is pretty far down the list in terms, in my opinion, of important games this year. Because if Nebraska loses that game, everyone goes, well, that was expected.
You're supposed to.
But in terms of national relevancy, that game is more important than it is to Nebraska fans, because yeah, if Nebraska gets it rolling, if they're 4-0 headed to Michigan, that game is now very, very important for Michigan, because you got a hot Nebraska team that believes in themselves, that has more confidence than they've had in a decade, most likely. Now they're playing Michigan, your presumptive Big Ten champion, or at least a team that should be competing for the Big Ten, coming to Memorial Stadium in September, and it now goes up an echelon in terms of the importance of this game. Like, Nebraska and Iowa could maybe determine who's going to win the Big Ten West come November. Maybe, but it's a lot more likely, in my opinion, that you have a confident Nebraska team coming off of wins against Northern Illinois and Louisiana Tech and maybe Colorado too. And I guess we'll throw Minnesota in there, not knowing how the season's going to go. It's a lot more likely that that game, Nebraska-Michigan, is going to have more national relevancy than Nebraska-Iowa.
Listen, it's a national stage. It's a showcase. It's, all right, what kind of opportunity do you take with this moment against Michigan? Do you get to Michigan undefeated? That's a big ask. As we rank the Nebraska games, I mean, to me, your most important game is going to still be that Minnesota game. Can you actually get off on the right foot if you're Nebraska football? You've not done that forever. You've not won the opener forever, or you've not won a conference opener forever. And you've started out on the road, God, for a lot of years. You just have, right? That's been your lot in life. Go open up on the road somewhere. Go to Ireland, all right? Go to Illinois. Go be on the road. Thank you for letting us wrench you out, Nebraska, your brand and your eyeballs and your viewership numbers. Go on the road again. And you know, all the problems you caused us, the headaches you gave us in 2020, we're going to still continue to throw you out there on the road. And that's what Nebraska's had to deal with. They've not had a advantageous setup. I mean, even think about when they got into the Big Ten. What was their opener? It was at Wisconsin, Camp Randall. It was awesome. Nebraska was in it till halftime, but they ended up getting drilled by Russell Wilson. It was 48-17. It was 17-17, and Nebraska kind of collapsed there. So, no, Nebraska's most important game is going to be Minnesota. Go steal that one. Start off the conference season, for the love of God, 1-0. Go pound Dion and the Baby Buffs, and then figure it out. Try and get there. I'm not expecting them to go win at Minnesota, but be right there. Nebraska should not have a four-game losing streak to Minnesota. And the way they've lost those games, either they've been blown out or they've been absolutely incompetent, where they played with a hand grenade and blew their face off. That's how the last few Minnesota games have gone. Minnesota's made more plays, bled more clock, got more first downs, and out-toughed Nebraska in all these one-score losses. So Minnesota absolutely kickstarts your season in a great way if you can go get it done. That's my number one, two, and three. Sentimentally, yeah, go win in Boulder. Start out 2-0. That'd be great.
Most important game to me, it can't be Minnesota, simply because if you drop that game, I think you can.
It's not the end of the world, but it could accelerate things positively if you get it, is what I'm saying.
It's low risk, high reward. It's low risk, high reward. And that's why I can't put it down, because I have to look further down this schedule. I go look at a game that we've talked about. I think we talked about it with Vogel last week. Nebraska at Illinois on a Friday night. It's not the sexy answer. I think that might be your most important game of the season because you're coming off a game against Michigan, which, let's be honest, Nebraska's probably going to lose that game against Michigan. You have three games coming up with one bye week. You have a Friday night game against Illinois, and then you have a divisional matchup against Northwestern 2 weeks later after a bye, and then 3 weeks later, you have another home matchup against Purdue. These are three teams that you have not been able to beat consistently over the past couple of seasons, and they're the teams you need to beat if you want to have a chance in the Big Ten West. So Nebraska, let's assume they're coming off a loss to Michigan. I'll just leave it at that. We'll assume that's a loss. Don't call me angrily. Nebraska's got a chance. You know what? Based on recent results, Michigan should win that football game. It's as simple as that. So let's assume you're coming off a loss. You got to go play at Illinois, the Pig Farmer, a guy who has beaten you two consecutive years, both in somewhat disappointing fashion. Now you have to go beat him in order to gain some momentum before Northwestern and Purdue, two teams you have to beat if you want to have a chance in the Big Ten West. That Illinois game, it's not sexy, but it's really, really important in the grand scheme of Nebraska's season.
Do you look at getting off to a 1-0 conference start, or do you look at Nebraska
gaining some momentum halfway through the year?
Kind of by that mile marker point in the season where you're into early October, all right, how do you finish out before your bye week, and where's your record overall? Are you at 4-1? Do you go into your bye week with back-to-back losses, Minnesota and Illinois on a short week? Do you split that with a Minnesota win? You know, are you at 5-1 going into the bye week? Who knows, man? It's going to be a pretty incredible season. Going to be a lot of fun to see how things shake out. Bill Bender's on the way with the sporting news at Hale Varsity Radio.